Blog Talk Radio.
Alternative Medicine. I'll be your host, MD Shahid, and I'll be bringing you much information, very interesting information from the field of natural science, natural remedies, alternative remedies that are being used today for the control and management of common human health conditions. Glad you could be with us tonight, this evening, all our listening audience. We appreciate it. I'd like to let you know now that this show is a project of Excel Nutraceuticals. At Excel Nutraceuticals, we produce and manufacture all natural and organic products for the control and management of eczema, psoriasis, contact dermatitis, and thinning hair. For more information about all our fine natural-based products, please visit our website at www.xcel-n.com, or you can call us at 1-800-977-3981. Before we get in further into the show, I'd like to let you know that this show is a media effort by Excel Nutraceuticals to bring current and up-to-date information on scientific developments that are using natural products or using natural science. Various investigations that can be used to help people manage various health afflictions or their health concerns. That's what this show is about. That's why we developed the show. We transformed the show from another talk entity to this particular concept. That being understood, it should be known now. I want to make it clear that the information on this show is not intended to be used as a substitute for a medical diagnosis. So if you have any kind of problems, health concerns, or you're not feeling too well, we strongly advise you to contact your personal physician and try to determine what the problem might be. Okay, I'd like to bring in now my co-host, Gary. Gary, you're on the line, and good evening, and how are you doing? Gary, are you there? Don't hear you.
Yes, I am. Good evening. And good evening to everyone out there listening to us. Hope that this show will be beneficial, helpful, knowledgeable, and most of all, encouraging to your health.
Okay, Gary. As you know, we have the show broken down into various segments. The show we try to do every broadcast, and we're going to start with a segment tonight on things that you may not be aware of or things that you should know, Gary. Some interesting things I want to discuss with you or go with you and get your comments on it and as well. Here's a list, Gary. I picked up some information recently from a site on the internet, And it says, Forever Foods, 9 cooking staples that can outlast you. Now, these are supposed to be foods that you basically buy at the grocery, you know, when you go shopping, and it's used, these particular items are used to prepare different types of foods at family meals, family settings. And much of this, these items are sitting right now in your kitchen, on the shelf, somewhere in the kitchen cupboard or somewhere in the shelf. And sometimes we see some of these things and we see that we've had them for a long period of time and we just throw them out thinking they're no longer any good. But some interesting information has been put together to let you know that maybe some of these things that you have on your shelf, maybe they've been there for a year, maybe 2 years. You'd be surprised how stable they really are, Gary. Some of these things will last for decades, even after they've been open. Let's go down the list here. Number one on the list is sugar. Now, people know about sugar. There's a lot of talk about sugar. Sugar's not good. Sugar's bad for you, whatever. That's another topic that we can talk about for 2 or 3 hours. But tonight we're just going to go over sugar. We know sugar is used as a sweetener. It's white sugar, right? Brown sugar, powdered sugar. But most people are not aware that sugar never spoils. That's because it doesn't support bacteria growth. You can't grow bacteria in sugar. That's surprising. Something that's not supposed to be good for you. It's supposed to be bad for you, but you can't grow bacteria in it. You know, bacteria is bad for you. And a lot of things that foods and things that we consume, even natural products, Gary, that's supposed to be really good for you, they grow and support bacteria. But sugar is something that does not support the bacteria growth. It says even if the sugar gets hard, you can just break it up and you can reuse it again. It doesn't spoil. The best way to do it, a lot of these things, items I'm going to go over, Gary, is just put them in a plastic bag and seal them tight. That's it. So surprisingly, sugar is something that doesn't spoil. Another thing in your kitchen that you might have is pure vanilla extract. It says pure vanilla extract. You no need to throw that out either because it'll last forever. You just keep it, put it on your shelf. It'll just stay there. Keep it in a cool place and just make sure you close the bottle, you know, after each use. Then if you have the imitation kind, that's different. The imitation vanilla won't last forever. But if you have the pure vanilla extract, you can use it indefinitely. What do you think about that so far?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing that these things are like that, especially sugar. I guess I did, because the sugar I have now, I haven't refilled in maybe a year or so. So seems to work still good now.
And it goes on to say it's rice, regardless of type of rice, white rice, wild jasmine, balsamic rice, all can be kept forever. You don't need to throw them out. The only exception is brown rice. One of the problems with brown rice, although it's probably healthier for you because it has the natural oils and it have a higher content of oil, it is these oils that will spoil. So it is the recommendation if you have brown rice, if it's open, you had it for a while, to store it in the refrigerator, or you can put it in a bag and store it in the freezer. But the other rice types will not spoil. Cornstarch. Cornstarch is another item that we have in our kitchen. You can keep that forever. No need to throw it out. Just reseal it in a plastic bag, tight plastic bag. Honey is interesting. People use honey as an alternative sweetener. Again, this is a natural sweetener. It will last forever. It says, goes on to say that it even has antibiotic properties. And that's one of the reasons why it doesn't spoil. It has certain substances in it, organic substances, basically acids and some antioxidants, phenolic antioxidants that keeps it from spoiling. Now, here's a tough one right here. I bet everybody knows this substance spoil. What do you think about salt, Gary? You think salt will spoil?
No, I wouldn't think that salt would spoil.
You're right. Salt never spoils. I mean, it's a basic compound, basic substance, and it doesn't matter whether it's table salt or sea salt. Again, it may get chunky, it may get hard, because of, you know, moisture content picked up from the atmosphere, but it won't spoil. And think about it. Salt has been used, you know, many, many years ago, pre-industrial age, as a commodity like money. I mean, people used to just, they used to just chunk off a big thing, a rock of salt, and put it on the back of a donkey and carry it around and use it like money.
The salt of the earth.
Salt of the earth, that's right. what do you think about corn syrup? You think corn syrup will spoil?
Corn syrup or
corn syrup.
Just regular corn syrup?
Regular corn syrup.
I would guess if you kept it sealed up, seems as though, like, if you left it open, it would probably stiffen, but that doesn't mean that with some heat it would not reconstitute itself. So I'm going to say it will last forever as well.
Yeah, it will last forever. Right again, Gary, corn syrup, don't throw it out. Keep it sealed, store it in a cool, dry place. What about vinegar? Distilled white vinegar, you think that'll spoil?
Distilled white vinegar?
Distilled white vinegar.
No, that seems like a substance that will have that smell for a long time.
Yeah, it does have that smell. Don't go away, do
it? It's the smell that probably keeps it alive, brother.
Yeah, you're right. You may have a point there. Again, they call it the wonder product. It's used in salad dressings, marinades, used to clean the house, doing laundry. It'll last for years. Just keep the bottle tight so you can keep the smell down. Another thing about vinegar, Gary, it's a very good cleaning agent, but it can also be used in combination with bleach to become a very powerful antibacterial agent, a bacterial agent. And what we've learned in science about bleach, because bleach is basically sodium hypochlorite, but it's basically a base and a salt at the same time, without getting too technical. If some of you the technical people out there listening, that makes any sense. But the bottom line is the bleach is kept at a certain pH. Generally, pH is above 10, somewhere between 11 and 12. That means it's basic or alkaline in chemistry terminology. But if you mix one part bleach with, let's say, 10 parts vinegar, then you decrease the pH or reduce the pH to a point or to a level where you free up a substance in the bleach, and it becomes a very potent antibacterial agent. It'll kill probably any bacteria. So instead of going to the store and buying some expensive disinfectant, you could just take one part bleach and 9 or 10 parts vinegar, mix the two together, put them in a little spray bottle, and you can use that as a disinfectant, as a kill bacteria. It'll kill mold on contact in just a few seconds. You'll see the mold just disappear like Harry Houdini. What do you think about vinegar and bleach?
Bleach. Okay, well, we're talking about surface bacteria, not internal bacteria now.
Oh, no. This is only surface. This is only surface. Only on the surface. As a cleaning agent, as a cleaning and disinfecting agent, only on the surface.
Okay. Something different from those worms in your body, huh?
Yeah, you'll need something different. You have some problems inside your gut. Gary, we're going to go on to another topic, things that you might want to know or you should know. And we've discussed this before, and I think it's such an interesting conversation here on eating oranges, nine reasons, for eating oranges. And this is an article says oranges have a number of health benefits which may surprise you and can be obtained by eating just one orange every day, Gary. Just one orange, not two or three, but just one.
You know what's surprising about it is I just finished eating an orange, and you know a thing I've noticed about, and I just finished eating an orange, was washing my hands from it, is that I had a little tension headache, and it helped to relieve the tension in my neck and head.
Interesting. So now we have 10 reasons for eating the orange. Okay.
Yeah, it's happened more than once. So.
All right. So you said this is real data, huh? This is becoming more scientific. Okay. Okay.
I mean, it absolutely happened to me about 15 minutes ago, and then I had noticed it about a week ago. I was a little hungry, and it was kind of tense, and I had an orange, and I noticed that it went away for a while. I mean, it really did.
Hmm. Let's go through it right quick, Gary. Here are the top reasons why you should eat oranges. Number one, oranges detoxify the body. Antioxidants may be found in every part of the fruit, including the zest and the skin. These antioxidants help move oxygen through the body. In addition, they protect your skin from free radicals. Number two, oranges are a great source of luminoids. Luminoids appear to protect the body against certain types of cancer, such as skin, breast, colon, mouth, lung, and stomach cancer. Bet you didn't know that, huh? Number three, one orange gives the human body 67% of the recommended daily allowance of vitamin C. The vitamin aids in both wound healing and disease resistance. Number four, oranges contain pectin. Dieters would be glad to hear that pectin suppresses the appetite for up to 4 hours, which is pretty good, huh?
Well, it helps me. I was trying to rush in to be ready for the show and had an orange, and I think I can make it through the rest without starving. So that would be true as well.
Pectin has also been shown to help reduce cholesterol levels. Number five, the risk of heart disease may be reduced by eating oranges on a regular basis. The risk may be reduced by 50% if the fruit is eaten on a regular basis. It is believed that the flavonoids in oranges help protect cells. Number six, vitamin B is in oranges. The vitamin is responsible for preventing certain birth defects. It also protects the heart. Number seven, potassium within the human body keeps fluid levels in proper balance. One orange provides over 7% of the recommended daily allowance of potassium. Number eight, oranges, according to recent studies, contain a chemical that naturally fights skin cancer. Although this would not replace sunscreen, it does give your body an extra defense. And number nine, phytochemicals in oranges prevent age-related diseases. They work together to protect the cells within the body. Nine important reasons why you should be eating oranges. So, Gary, you just keep doing what you're doing because it looks like you're on the right track.
Hey, I need to be, man. I tell you, I've been really, really led to do a lifestyle change. And fortunately for me, I've even saw today a belt I put on. I could barely get it in the first loop hole. Now I'm up to the third hole. So I guess eating oranges and walking a little bit will help you.
All righty. Look, we got a very interesting topic to talk about tonight, Gary. We're going to be discussing diabetes, a little bit on the background of diabetes, the different types of diabetes that's been classified. We'll talk about some of the symptoms of diabetes. And then when we come back from the break, along with that, we're going to talk about some interesting natural substances, extracts and antioxidants that research data, clinical data, and research data has clearly demonstrated can be used in the fight to help people manage their diabetic symptoms. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thank you. McConnell to San Antonio to give her a bath, and we started rubbing her down with the XLSO, and she has had complete moisture in her skin ever since.
Excel Nutraceuticals All Natural Base SO has been scientifically developed for the management of eczema and psoriasis. For more information, go to xcel-n.com.
My name's Dr. Karen Holly, and I am the senior pastor at Lifeway Church, and I'm also a psychological therapist. My grandson, Christian Turner, and he uses SO, and he has eczema, and so it's just worked wonderfully for him.
Tried Bump Stop. I've tried all kind of stuff. My skin, you would never believe. People don't believe anymore that I used to have hair bumps except my friends. It cleared it up. No more dry patches, even the patches that would come around.
Nutraceuticals, all natural products. Call today at 1-800-977-3981.
I actually brought it for my daughters. Their hair has gotten so much thicker. It's gotten longer, and they feel it's like they had a bald spots on the side of their head. But ever since we've been using it, the hair has actually grown.
Excel Nutraceuticals All Natural Base HGS has been scientifically developed for the control of eczema of the scalp and hair regrowth. For more information, go to www.xcel-n.com.
Yes, hi. My name is Carmen. About a year ago, I had ordered 3 of the jars of the Excel HGS, and I'm here to tell you, oh, it really, really worked. It stopped my hair from thinning out. My hair is just beautiful, and I'm just so very well pleased.
Nutraceuticals All Natural Products. Call today at 1-800-977-3981.
Attention. Are you or someone you know experiencing hair loss due to thinning hair, overbraiding, or chemical treatment? Then you need XL Nutraceuticals All Natural Base HGS. Attention, do you or someone you love suffer from eczema, psoriasis, or contact dermatitis? Then you need XL Nutraceuticals All Natural Base SO. For more information, log on to www.xcel-n.com today.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, MD Shahid, and this is Today in Alternative Medicine. This show is a project of Excel Nutraceuticals. At Excel Nutraceuticals, we produce and manufacture all natural-based products for the control and management of eczema, psoriasis, contact dermatitis, and thinning hair. More information about all of our fine natural-based and organic products, do visit our website at www.xcel-n.com. Okay, welcome back to the show. We had mentioned before we left that we're going to get into a discussion on diabetes and some of the natural products that have been discovered that could be used in an everyday health regime to help people better manage their diabetic symptoms. And Gary, recent estimates suggest that diabetes affects more than 25 million Americans. That's more than 8% of the population. There are various types of diabetes, Gary. There's type 1 and type 2 diabetes, where type 2 diabetes generally accounts for much of all of the diabetes, about 95%, 95% of all the cases diagnosed are essentially type 2 diabetes. And we're going to discuss briefly the different types of diabetes, Gary, and give you a little background on them and some of the symptoms, people who may not be aware of this particular disease or disorder, biological disorder. And this will kind of bring you up to speed, and you'll be able to see down the road how these new substances have been discovered and been used, how they come into play and they help manage diabetic situations. There's type 1 diabetes, Gary, is basically been called, or common name is called juvenile diabetes. And generally, juvenile diabetes will occur in individuals, or is generally diagnosed from infancy to about 30 years of age. So basically, this is a young person's situation, where in that sense, the person's pancreas produces little or no insulin, and insulin is used to modulate the levels of glucose, blood sugar, is another name used for glucose, in the person's body. And if too much glucose is in the bloodstream, then that's a problem. And insulin is basically a hormone that's produced in the pancreas, which is used by the body, again, to kind of move around glucose and also fats throughout the body. What happens is, if there's too much glucose in the blood, Gary, then the insulin moves much of it to the liver, the muscle, and some fat tissues. And it generally is stored in the liver and the muscles as glycogen, as a form of stored energy. And this keeps the level down in the person's bloodstream. So the body has over many years developed a level of glucose that should be in our bloodstream. So, you know, normal people, non-diabetic individuals, they produce enough insulin to control this situation. Now, one thing we can note here is that type 1 diabetes has nothing to do with your diet or your lifestyle. Okay, you can't prevent it. So essentially, it's genetic in a sense. You can't prevent it. It's essentially genetic. And generally, what happens is that individuals who have type 1 diabetes, they have to get insulin shots. They have to get their insulin several times, sometimes a day, in various means of fashion. So that's the one type of diabetes. Some of the symptoms of type 1 diabetes: extreme thirst, frequent urination, drowsiness, sugar in the urine, sudden vision changes, increased appetite, sudden weight loss, fruity, sweet type breath, and generally heavy breathing after doing some hard work or hard, you know, labor. You have any comments on that, Gary, right quick before we move on?
Well, yes. So going back to the beginning when you were saying the juvenile diabetes, here, I don't know if you're going off the latest statistics, and I don't know if you've seen the growth in the number of juveniles having the type 2 diabetes, so developing an adult form of diabetes at an early age.
Oh, yeah, and we're going to talk about that. You can see type 2 diabetes even in young people now, and this has a lot to do with lifestyle problems. You know, probably comes from poor nutrition, okay, probably overuse of maybe different type of drugs, things of that nature, just poor nutrition, maybe. Even there are some environmental factors involved in all of this. So I agree. Yeah, there is an increase being noticed in type 2 diabetes, even in young people. Although generally it develops in older people after age 40, you're right, there is being a presence of type 2 diabetes even in some of our younger individuals. But okay, that we're talking about type 2 diabetes. Since we're there, let's go on into it. And one of the things about diabetes is, ladies and gentlemen, it's a lifelong, meaning it's a chronic situation. So people have to deal with this all the time. You know, once it's diagnosed or once it comes on, the onset, and it's full-blown, then you're pretty much stuck with it. There's not a cure right now for diabetes, although there's a lot of work in this area. But some of the causes of diabetes, type 2 diabetes, again, we talked about you know, nutrition and lifestyles. You know, it could be some failure in some other organs, some other infection. Obesity is a big problem, and we'll get into that as well. And as you know, America is one of those countries that a significant amount of the population is overweight, and quite a few are obese, and that also plays a big role in the development of type 2 diabetes. But in type 2 diabetes, the situation is similar to type 1, with the exception that the pancreas is producing some insulin, but it's just not producing sufficient amount of insulin to remove blood sugar, or the sugar from the blood glucose into the other organs like the liver and some muscle tissue. And hence, you know, hear some people say my sugar is high, okay, and that means that either they have to do something, maybe exercise or modify their diet, or sometimes they even have to take insulin injections to reduce the level of sugar or glucose in their blood. So this is type 2 diabetes. When you do get a high level of the sugar in the blood, Gary, sometimes there are certain medical terms called hyperglycemia and hypoglycemia. And some listening, the people that listen to this may have heard this before. Maybe you've heard it. And these are just medical terms. Hyper means a high level. Hypo means a low level. So hyperglycemia, there's a high level of glucose in the blood, okay? Then there's also hypo, where there's not enough glucose or sugar in the blood. And either way, Gary, any one of those physiological situations is not good, because the body pretty much regulates things on a proper balance. And if you're too far over or too far under, you could have some problems. Some of the symptoms of type 2 diabetes, you're going to have some infection problems, particularly skin problems or bladder problems. You may get a bladder infection or a skin infection or a cut that takes a long time to heal. You know, it heals really slowly. That may be an indication that you may be developing diabetes. Number two, you got fatigue, always tired, have this sense of being hungry a lot. There are some people who get very thirsty, Gary, always thirsty. And then there's also individuals who have increased urination. So these are some of the symptoms of diabetes. There are some other symptoms that we'll discuss now. Blurred vision. We do know diabetic people or people who have developed diabetes to a large extent have sometimes developed vision problems. There's also erectile dysfunction problems. And a big problem with diabetes individuals or diabetic individuals is the numbness in the feet or hands. So those are some of the symptoms. You got any quick comments or questions on that, Gary?
Yeah, I do. I was recently looking at some articles by there's a medical doctor by the name of Dr. Mark Hyman. He's an MD. Kind of his field of study is diabetes, and he has coined a phrase called diabesity.
Okay.
Obesity through diabetes. And his latest research has shown that beginning in the years that they first introduced high fructose corn syrup, into our sodas and stuff, that there's been a dramatic rise, a sevenfold rise in the amount of diabetes, people with type 2 diabetes, and that there could be a link to the cheap high fructose corn syrup use, which is in mostly sodas, drinking a lot of soda and stuff like that, to the astronomical rise in the number of people that have now, you know, till the 20-year study and ended in about up to 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And just saw that there may be some link. Because it says from 1983 to 2003, worldwide diabetes incidences has increased sevenfold from 35 million to 240 million. And he was saying that's really been the time that there's been a huge rise in the use of high fructose corn syrup. The reason sodas, I hope you remember that. I was talking to a friend and said, you know, after reading that, I remember when soda was expensive. You know, a 32-ounce bottle of soda in the 70s cost you some money. Now you can get 64 ounces of soda for 89 cents.
Exactly. And you know what? That's a very interesting topic of discussion. High fructose corn syrup is not just in sodas. It's in everything. It's in all of the cakes, any pies, even some bread products. I mean, you can't even hardly pick up anything, Gary, that doesn't have high fructose corn syrup in it. And you know, this was all done to patronize the corn industry back in the 70s, when a lot of there was a big problem with the production of corn and the competition from overseas with corn, and the corn growers were complaining to the federal government about they can't turn a dollar. And so, you know, this work that was been doing in the late 60s on the use of corn to synthesize an artificial sweetener, and I call it artificial because it's not like regular cane sugar or beet sugar in terms of its structure. And many people can argue, and the corn people can say it's like sugar. Well, not really. We won't get into this, but excuse me, I can tell you it's not like sugar. In fact, it's sweeter than sugar. And I've heard some people tell me, well, no. Sugar doesn't taste good. That's because sugar, even though sugar is sweet, high fructose corn syrup is sweeter than sugar. It's a little bit sweeter than sugar, not as sweet as honey, because honey is 100% fructose, and high fructose corn syrup is about 60%. They say it's 55, but it's mostly 60% fructose and 40%. Glucose, whereas regular sugar is 50-50 fructose and glucose, and that's sucrose called. That's table sugar. So you're right. There's been a lot of studies on the prevalence of obesity in America, particularly since the year 2000 by many universities. And studying this phenomenon, this overweight problem, and it's being linked to the introduction of high fructose corn syrup in the late 70s. And I remember when everything was sugar like you, and the sodas were, the big things were expensive, and then they came in with this high fructose corn syrup, and the price dropped because there's so much abundance of corn, right? And these guys right. don't have to pay the tariffs that they was imposing on the growers in South America, and that what that did is Congress passed that legislation that drove up the price of imported sugar, and so the manufacturers of all these products of cakes and pies and sodas, they had no other alternative but to turn to high fructose corn syrup. Hence, we have it basically all in our food industry, and most people today don't even know how the whole thing started, but there's clearly a link between the introduction of this particular product with obesity and now, as you say, to diabetes, type 2 diabetes.
Right, right. But aren't the two kind of linked together? Most people, well, a lot of people that are obese do have diabetic symptoms and take, a lot of them are on some form of medication to help control their insulin levels or glucose.
Yes, they a lot. I mean, generally, you'll find a significant amount of people that have diabetic symptoms or diabetic period are also obese, or they have weight problems. They have weight problems. Yeah,
now,
we're gonna go ahead.
I'm listening. Do you feel that? Because based on this, and this guy, people want to look him up. His name is Dr. Mark Hyman, H-Y-M-A-N, and he has a series called The Blood Sugar Solution.
Mm-hmm.
And based on his information, he believes that type 2 diabetes could be is reversible through managing health and better eating and reducing the intake of things like that, how to go for fried foods and stuff like that. So I was going to ask you, do you feel as though diet, I mean, if a person changes their diet and over time loses some weight, I know they have this extreme weight loss makeover. If they don't show you what's going on in between the time, usually, you know, if you're going to lose hundreds of pounds, it seems like you should go slow, a little bit at a time, and as a couple of years go by, you can probably change a lot of problems that you're having health-wise. What do you think about that?
Well, you know what? You can. I'm not sure. It's when we say reversible, I guess I agree. I do believe that it is reversible. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a cure. It just means that you can reverse the situation. And it may very well be if you can completely reverse it, maybe you'll have a cure. But, you know, time is the best testament of a cure. And it takes many, many years, Gary, to determine whether you have a cure. Just because you can reverse something and you don't have any symptoms for 3 years or 5 years or even 6 years or 10 years, I don't agree that that's a cure. That's a step in the right direction. I think it'll take pretty much a lifetime of an individual before you can say that, okay, we cured you of diabetes by using this particular regime, this health management program. But yes, you're right. Weight problem is, in fact, this is some of the first line treatment of diabetes is to try to lower the blood glucose levels. And this can be done, Gary, by exercise and diet, some things you just brought up, okay? And
right.
Some of the things you can do, you can first try to, I guess, your doctor or your healthcare practitioner will obviously develop a well-balanced diet for you to try to follow. And they'll try to do this, Gary, try to manage your foods, manage your intake before they even look at possibly giving you any kind of medications. And then they'll combine that with regular exercise. As you know, the more you exercise, your heart beats faster, you breathe faster, and that helps lower your blood sugar. Because why? You're burning calories, and your body going to need that energy, right? So you're burning calories, so that's going to remove the sugar from the blood. And, of course, the more you continue to exercise, any stored glucose as glycogen in the liver and the muscles and the fat tissue is going to be converted back to what? Sugar again, blood sugar, and you're going to continue to burn that. So that will reduce your levels of blood sugar, and by reducing the levels of blood sugar, that will also affect your symptoms. So exercise will also help combined with a good diet program. And if that's not enough, Gary, for you, then your doctor will ultimately recommend some different type of drugs. There are different types on the market they may give you. Most of the time, people wind up getting insulin shots they take insulin shots to help manage their blood levels, or they call it manage their sugars. This has to be taken really into consideration because, you know, diabetic persons generally have problems with their feet. They have foot problems, and that comes from damage to the nerves, and we're going to talk about that in a later segment of the show. But that's some of the long-term complications is heart disease, okay? Nervous problems and also kidney failure. Because eventually everybody is diabetic, don't have kidney failure, but if you don't manage your diabetes, sooner or later you're gonna, you know, your kidney's gonna fail, and then you're gonna be on dialysis to help clean your blood. So that's pretty much you know what I wanted to discuss, Gary, and talk about on diabetes and some of the background on this particular disease. And when we come back, we're going to dwell into, Gary, some interesting natural substance that are now being looked at to help manage diabetes and diabetic symptoms. One material called DCI. DCI, when we come back from the commercial break, we're going to tell you what DCI is all about. Stay tuned.
Brought it for my daughters. Their hair has gotten so much thicker. It's gotten longer, and they feel it's like they had a bald spots on the side of their head. But ever since we've been using it, their hair has actually grown.
Excel Nutraceuticals All Natural Base HGS has been scientifically developed for the control of eczema of the scalp and hair regrowth. For more information, go to www.xcel-n.com.
Yes, hi. My name is Carmen. About a year ago, I had ordered 3 of the jars of the Excel HGS, and I'm here to tell you, oh, it really, really worked. It stopped my hair from thinning out. My hair is just beautiful, and I'm just so very well pleased.
Nutraceuticals All Natural Products, call today at 1-800-977-3981.
Excel Nutraceuticals All Natural Base SO has been scientifically developed for the management of eczema and psoriasis. For more information, go to www.xcel-n.com. That's www.xcel-n.com. Excel Nutraceuticals All Natural Base HGS has been scientifically developed for the control of eczema of the scalp and hair regrowth. For more information, go to www.xcel-n.com. That's www.xcel-n.com.
Welcome back to the show today in Alternative Medicine. I'm your host, MD Shaheed. This show is a project of Excel Nutraceuticals. At Excel Nutraceuticals, we produce and manufacture all natural-based products for the control and management of eczema, psoriasis, contact dermatitis, and thinning hair. For more information about all our fine natural-based and organic products, do visit our website at www.xcel-n.com. At the break, Gary, I said we're going to talk about an interesting natural substance that's being investigated now in many university and research labs around the world. The discovery of the substance was in the middle 1990s, and basically this particular substance is found naturally from soybean, but it's actually been now identified in the human biological makeup. And I'm going to quickly just read a little bit here from an abstract that I obtained from the International Journal of Experimental Diabetes Research. And this information is codified at the National Institute of Health. And this is called D-chiroinositol. D-chiroinositol. Remember that name. Its functional role in insulin action and its deficit in insulin resistance. Now, this compound, D-chiroinositol, its technical name, Gary, is cis-1,2,4-trans-3,5,6-cyclohexanehexol. That's a big name, ain't it? It's more commonly known as DCI.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the DCI myself.
Okay. And it says, in this review, we discuss the biological significance of D-chiroinositol, originally discovered as a component of a putative mediator of intracellular insulin action, whereas a putative mediator, it accelerates the dephosphorylation of glycogen synthase and pyruvate dehydrogenase, rate-limiting enzymes of non-oxidative and oxidative glucose disposal. Now, in layman's term, or just breaking it down like we used to say growing up, it means that it will manage or modulate glucose levels in your bloodstream. That's what all of that's meant. They said all that to say that when it's glucose, if it's too much glucose in your bloodstream, it can modulate it. Okay? It says a defect in vivo means inside the body, in imprimization of myo-inositol to chiro-inositol in insulin-sensitive tissues, and it goes on to talk about some more technical stuff, has been elucidated. In other words, it says that this is a defect. Maybe it's some enzyme or some genetic defect, or maybe there's some toxin, or there's an enzyme, or we're not really sure why. But there's a defect in the human being that doesn't allow for the conversion of myo-inositol to chiro-inositol. And this is why the insulin levels get elevated. That's why your blood sugar get high. Now, Gary, you can get myo-inositol from eating everyday foods, different type of grains, nuts, legumes. You can get myo-inositol, or you can buy inositol at your health food store, okay? So, but that doesn't appear to be the problem. The problem appears to be the ability of the diabetic person to convert this myo-inositol that you can normally get in your foodstuffs, or they even isolate it and you can get it in a jar, into this DCI material. And so that's the problem with diabetic individuals. Now, it's also been discovered that one way to get around this, because they have synthesized, scientists have synthesized this DCI, Gary, and they've synthesized it or they've extracted it or whatever, depending upon what they're doing. And I'm not trying to be too technical on this. So when I say they extracted it or they synthesized it, I mean that they've went in and they've extracted some from some source, or there may even be a way they can synthesize it, okay? That's what I mean if you want to be more technical. But the problem is it's very expensive. You can buy DCI. It's recently, I think there's a Japanese company that's manufacturing now, but it's very expensive. So it's been discovered now that there is a substance called dipentol. It's also called dichiroomethylinositol that you can get cheaply from soybeans. And apparently this is one of the stages or one of the metabolic steps that the body takes inositol and converts it into DCI. So it goes from inositol to pentotol to DCI. So the natural direction would be, Gary, well, then just go get some soybeans and let's evaluate soybeans, this pentotol from soybeans, and let's see how good it works. And that's what they've been doing over the last 5 years. Over the last 5 years, you've seen a lot of, if you've studied the scientific community in the natural products evaluation, something that I do all the time, you'll see that this is a lot of work going on in this area. And let me kind of go over this. And feel free to ask me a question anytime you want. I'm going to try to keep this from being too technical, so I want our audience to understand what we're dealing with, because I don't want people to think, Gary, that we're on this show and we're just making up some stuff. You know, we're just pulling it out of a hat, you know, building a rabbit out of a hat, you know, like we're doing a Harry Houdini thing on you. No, this is what we're bringing. Say that again now.
But no, like the main thing is you know, people that are out there that are suffering, and I'm sure you are suffering from obesity and diabetes. I do know one of the things that really will help is change of diet and exercise. And I know that is easier said than done, because I've gone through stints where I've been at home and watching TV all day, and man, there's all kind of commercials about food, and I think some of this stuff is highly addictive. So, and I mean, somebody out there listening will say, you know, yeah, that's easy for you to say this, that, and I'll see my doctor. But I do personally know how hard it is. I've spent a few months myself working on trying to reduce some obesity and lose some weight. And it's not easy, but, you know, you make it to the door one day, next day you make it out the door, but you don't give up. And in time, a year or two, you will see that you can really do it, and it'll help to extend your life. The more you can do for yourself, especially with what's going on in our government and the states and all of these different things, I think we'll come to a time where, you know, your personal taking personal responsibility for your health, as time goes on over these years, it's going to be prevalent. So somebody out there listening, if you can just take one step and then another step, you can do it. It will take time, and these natural products can help, and there's medicines that can help, but the main thing that will help to help you is that you turn off the TV, you throw away the fried chicken, and try to come off the sodas and replace that with water, and take one step at a time, and you can do it.
Exactly, and this is the reason why we're bringing this information. Obviously, you need to integrate many different health schedules into your regime, and one of them, obviously, it would be watching your diet. Another one is definitely you need to get into exercise. But now you can take pentotol, and pentotol, you can get it at your local health food store. Here is a recent article from 2005, Gary, the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and it says, it's titled, Effects of Pentotol Isolated from Soybeans on Glycemic Control and Cardiovascular Risk Factors in Korean Patients with Type 2 Diabetes, a Randomized Control Study. Now, I'm not going to read this whole thing. That's not the intent. This is what I'm going to read. I'm just going to read to you basically what they were trying to do, and I'm going to give you their conclusions. This is from a group of scientists. This was at a hospital in the Republic of Korea, Pusan Pak Hospital, Pusan, Republic of Korea. It says the objective was to assess the effects of soybean-derived pentotol on glycemic control and cardiovascular risk factors in Korean patients with type 2 diabetes. And then it went on to say that there were a total of 30 patients, type 2 diabetes, received an oral dose, meaning just taking it by mouth, of 600 milligrams soybean-derived pentotol or placebo twice daily for 3 weeks. The results: pentotol significantly decreased mean fasting plasma glucose, insulin, fructosamine, and homeostatic model assessment insulin resistance index. Pentotol also significantly decreased total cholesterol, LDL cholesterol, the LDL-HDL cholesterol ratio, and systolic and diastolic blood pressure as well. Our conclusions: this data suggests that soybean-derived pentotol may be beneficial in reducing cardiovascular risk in Korean type 2 diabetes. This is just a study that was done in Korea on type 2 diabetes. So here, this study is strongly suggesting by taking 600 milligrams of pentotol on a daily basis, you can, number one, reduce your sugar, number two, reduce your cholesterol, and also manage your blood pressure, Gary. I mean, that's really phenomenal. That's an interesting.
That's really positive.
So that's very positive, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
Exactly. Let's go on. Here again, here is from another article, research article. It says the effect of pentotol on glucose metabolism in adipose cytokines in uncontrolled type 2 diabetes. It said the abstract was pentotol was identified in putative insulin mediator fractions that have hypoglycemic activity, and it appears to mimic the effects of insulin by acting downstream in insulin signaling pathways. Now, that's one of the things that they're finding out, is that if you have insulin problems, the pentotol appears to mimic, because it's being converted to other substances we talked about earlier, it's mimicking insulin and helping to reduce the level of blood sugar or the level of sugar in your blood, even though it's not insulin. That's the interesting thing. It says a 12 weeks of pentotol treatment altered glucose metabolism. Now, this basically means that it had an effect on the sugar levels in the individuals that studied. This is another abstract. I'm not going to read the whole paper. I'm just giving you some interesting research results on the use of this particular type natural substance, pentotol, that you can purchase at a reasonable price at your local health food store. And this is the kind of information that when you go to your physician, he should be telling you this. Well, you don't have to take all these drugs. We've been some of these drugs, because a lot of these drugs have serious side effects. And you can only take some of these drugs for so long, Gary. And the whole idea is, you know, you got to keep your sugar levels down, because if you don't keep your sugar levels down, you're going to get a lot of problems. You're going to eventually get some kidney problems and some damage and nerve damage, and then you're going to be in a bad shape. Okay, so that's what the alternative is of continuing to try to deal with diabetes and not trying to manage it. Let me go on to another quick study, Gary. It says this is in 2009.
Hold on, go back right quick. Is it pentotol or pentotol? Spell that word.
Okay, good. You're right. I should have spelled that out to our audience. It's pentotol. It's P-I-N-I-T-O-L. Pentotol.
One more time.
P-I-N-I-T-O-L.
I-T-O-L. Okay, because I was looking that up and I saw pentotol and pentotol, but not.
Right, it's pentotol. You got it now?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, here's a recent study. It says the effect of acute pentotol supplementation on plasma pentotol concentration, whole body glucose tolerance, and activation of skeletal muscle insulin receptors in older humans. Now, this study was done, obviously, when you're looking at a new substance, you need to make sure that it's not going to have a negative effect. It's going to have any side effect. So the object was to determine, okay, let's get older people Because most of the people we've been looking at in diabetic studies, the use of pentotol have been elderly people. Let's get some elderly people who are non-diabetic, who have no sugar problems, and let's give them pentotol, and let's make sure that the pentotol doesn't mess with their normal insulin functions. Okay? So what they came out with at the end of the study, and this was done at the this was done at the Department of Foods and Nutrition and Center on Aging in the Life Course, Purdue University, West Lafayette, Indiana. The results was pentotol supplement was quickly absorbed but did not acutely influence indices of whole body glucose tolerance and insulin sensitivity or the activation of the skeletal muscle insulin receptor in older non-diabetic humans. In other words, if you don't have anything wrong with you and you take pentotol, nothing's going to happen. That's the interesting thing. Here's a natural substance derived from soybean. If you have a problem with insulin levels, and which means high sugar, it's going to lower your sugar levels by mimicking the function of insulin. If for some reason you get in shape and, you know, you're watching your diet and your insulin levels are decent, it's not going to interfere with your insulin levels. It's just only going to interfere when your insulin levels is low, because that's what the substance is being converted to anyway, this DCI. And that's the role of DCI in human metabolism, is to help manage your sugar levels. That's a big, major discovery for the health community. And you'll go on the internet now and you'll see many. This is a, you just go on the internet and Google DCI. It's a big thing now, and the people are getting the word out to diabetic persons, hey, here is an alternative that you can incorporate into your everyday health regime, and
DCI.
This is DCI, and this is going to help you help manage your sugar problems and potentially prevent further damage to your kidneys and neurological situations. Now, that's impressive.
Yeah, these must be really new findings, because I'm looking them. One of my favorite companies is Puritans, and they neither one of those are available to them.
So you could, I think a company called Vita Coast or something like that. I think they sell DCI. And the best thing to do is either pentotol, is Google pentotol, because that's the cheap one, and see
yeah.
You can look see if they sell the pentotol, because the DCI is not that. Yeah, go ahead. You listening?
I was looking as you were saying that. It says D pentotol. What does the D stand for? You know?
Yeah, D. Yeah, that just has to do with the. That's a term that has to do with the stereochemistry of the. Of the molecule. We're not going to go into that. I'm not going to do that on this show. Okay.
Well, I just noticed when you look it up, it does have that. Usually, each one of them has that D in front of it. But it.
Yeah, that's right. It should be that's the correct name for it in chemical terms. I'm just trying to keep it a little bit simplistic.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So when they look that up, that and you put the word pentotol in, and it has the D pentotol, that is the same natural substance that you are speaking about.
Correct.
Okay.
And I'm not sure some of the companies that make it. I've seen it on some sites, and I've even seen it here in the Houston area. So it's available. And it's a very effective substance. The data clearly is indisputable. And even if you go to the National Institute of Health website, they even talk about pentotol and DCI. So this is a fine. Of course, you know, pharmaceutical companies not going to tell you much about it. They sell their own drugs to help lower blood sugar along with insulin and to deal with some of the symptomatic conditions that are associated with the disease. But so this is competition for them. But here is a substance, a safe substance and an effective substance that can be integrated in your everyday regime to help manage your diabetic situations.
Very good. That's good information. I'm liking it.
Exactly.
Now, the medications that we take, that people take with diabetes, I hear you keep using the word manage. So basically, you're just with the insulin shots and whatever they're taking, the metformin and things like that. And I'm not saying anything against any medication. I'm just saying those are the ones that I know of. They are just helping you to manage your diabetes. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, they're there to help assist in combination with insulin shots to manage blood sugar levels. Also, you may have some neuropathy problems or neuropathy problems. Pardon me. We'll talk about that in a minute. And whereas there's damage to nerve endings, which generally occurs in the finger, the tips of the fingers and the toes, and those drugs are given to help try to manage that. Many of these drugs, again, are toxic, have side effects, and a lot of people don't like use them. So, but, you know, this particular Pentotal will help definitely in keeping the blood sugar levels lower and also to some degree help in the leveling or lowering of cholesterol as well. But, yes, it's a managed situation. It's not like they're going to reverse it. I mean, they'll obviously reverse it to some degree, but you'll still be a person that's diabetic. You may not have the symptoms. Once you get through, like you say, doing the exercise and the diet and taking all these drugs, you may not have the symptoms, but it's not like that, you know, you can just get off of everything. Some people can. I mean, some people lose enough weight, and there's a few people, the body kicks back in, and they don't have to take anything, no insulin or anything. But a significant amount of people will have to continue with some type of managing program. And so that's why I use the term manage, Gary.
All right, okay.
We're going to go to a quick break, Gary. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about another natural substance called alpha lipoic acid. Alpha lipoic acid. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. One moment.
Yeah, this is Donald San Antonio. Gave her a bath and we started rubbing her down with the XLSO, and she has had complete moisture in her skin ever since.
Excel Nutraceuticals All Natural Base SO has been scientifically developed for the management of eczema and psoriasis. For more information, go to xcel-n.com.
My name's Dr. Karen Holly, and I am the senior pastor at Lifeway Church, and I'm also a psychological therapist. My grandson, Christian Turner, and he uses SO, and he has eczema, and so it's just worked wonderfully for him.
Tried Bump Stop. I've tried all kind of stuff. You would never believe, people don't believe anymore that I used to have hair bumps except my friend. It cleared it up. No more dry patches, even the patches that would come around.
Nutraceuticals All Natural Products. Call today at 1-800-977-3981.
Attention, are you or someone you know experiencing hair loss due to thinning hair, overbraiding, or chemical treatment? Then you need XL Nutraceuticals All Natural Base HGS. Attention, do you or someone you love suffer from eczema, psoriasis, or contact dermatitis? Then you need XL Nutraceuticals All Natural Base SO. For more information, log on to www.xcel-n.com today. XL Nutraceuticals All Natural Base HGS has been scientifically developed for the control of eczema of the scalp and hair regrowth. For more information, go to www.xcel-n.com. That's www.xcel-n.com. XL Nutraceuticals All Natural Base SO has been scientifically developed for the management of eczema and psoriasis. For more information, go to www.xcel-n.com. That's www.xcel-n.com.
Welcome back to Today in Alternative Medicine. I'm your host, MD Shahid. Along with Gary, we've been discussing various aspects of diabetes, its symptoms, its causes, and its management. More information about XL Nutraceuticals and all its fine natural-based products, do visit our website at www.xcel-n.com. Gary, before we left the show for a break, I mentioned a natural substance called alpha lipoic acid. And before I get into this discussion on this interesting natural antioxidant, Gary, you know, we talked about some of the causes of diabetes and some of the symptoms if diabetes is not properly managed. And one of the symptoms, unfortunately as it may be, is it can damage or it can do crucial damage, Gary, to our nervous system. It's estimated that there's 60-70% of all the people the diabetes have a problem, Gary, called neuropathy. Neuropathy is a disease of the nerves. And basically, what happens is the levels of glucose, the high levels of blood sugar, eventually attacks the nerve endings, and this causes the individual to lose feeling in certain parts of his body, and particularly in the foot area. Okay? And this is a big problem with diabetic individuals. If this problem, excuse me, Gary, is not corrected, there's a good chance you have a lot of foot problems. You know, sore problems in your feet, the inability to get feeling. All this is because of poor circulation, and this is really not a good situation, a pleasant situation. And in fact, this, if it continues, you eventually develop pretty much a sensation whereas, you know, you can't feel anything. And the problem with that is that if you can't feel anything, then if you get a cut, you're not going to know you've been cut. If you step on something and get a rock or a little pin or whatever, a twig in your feet, you're not going to even know what's there. This can lead to ulceration and resulting in severe infection. And unless they can treat it quickly, what's going to happen, you're going to wind up probably losing a toe, a foot, or even a whole leg. In fact, Gary, in 2004, Statistics show that 71,000 people had lost their lower leg by amputations because of diabetes. Isn't that something?
Yeah, well, that's it's something and personal. I know my mother was diabetic, and before she went on to heaven to be with the Lord, they had to amputate her leg up to the knee. And she said she had gone weeks without even noticing or feeling anything. So that, my brother, I do empathize with people because I know, having gone through it personally with my mother, that it does happen.
It does happen, unfortunately.
They said the gangrene had set into her foot and up close to the muscle area on the calf.
Yes, and that's really bad. And, you know, there are some drugs on the market to try to treat this problem. Neuropathy, you probably heard on the commercial, Cymbalta. Cymbalta is probably the main medicine to try to use to combat this tingling, this sensitization problem, particularly in the foot area. The problem with these type of drugs is that they have very bad side effects. And I'm not going to go over them here, but you know, there's many people who post on these health boards how, you know, it keeps them up at night. Some of these drugs, they sweat a lot. Some people said they can't even walk after taking these drugs. Some feel like they're just going crazy. They can't take these drugs anymore. And, you know, this is a serious problem with diabetic individuals. But there is a substance that has recently been looked at. I mentioned it earlier before the break, called alpha-lipoic acid. And this material is a natural substance that's found even in our bodies today as a regenerate. It's an antioxidant that we knew for a long time may be involved in the regeneration of vitamin C and vitamin E and possibly uric acid when those antioxidants are spent. What I mean by spent, I mean those antioxidants are designed to scavenge free radicals, particularly reactive oxygen species, and that helps protect our organs. It helps protect our tissue. And, you know, those antioxidants, once they've done their job, they have no value. So the human body has, over many, many years of evolution, obviously, have developed a mechanism for regenerating those antioxidants. And those first-line antioxidants, we now know that alpha-lipoic acid is the main regenerate that's circulating right in our bodies right now. And it is believed that possibly diabetic people, when they do the studies, Gary, they do analysis, the levels of alpha-lipoic acid have greatly diminished. And it's because of this problem of low levels of this particular antioxidant. This may be one of the reasons why these type of nervous situations appear in diabetic people. Here is something I want to read from you quickly from this is University of Maryland Integrative Medicine, and they basically did a summary, Gary, of different studies on diabetes and the use of this substance, alpha-lipoic acid. It's spelled ALPHA, alpha-lipoic, LIPOIC acid, alpha-lipoic acid. It said in several studies, alpha-lipoic acid appears to help lower blood sugar levels. It also appears it has the ability to kill free radicals and help people with diabetic peripheral neuropathy who have pain, burning, itching, tingling, and numbness in their arms and legs from nerve damage. And some of these studies, Gary, suggested it may even, the prolonged use of this alpha-lipoic acid may reverse some of the problems in nerve damage. It goes on and says that a 2006 study, this is from Germany, found that taking alpha lipoic acid for diabetic neuropathy reduced symptoms compared to the placebo effect. Since taking alpha lipoic acid helped other diabetic related conditions as well as protective internal organs. The study found that 73 people with cardiac autonomic neuropathy, which affects the heart, show fewer signs of the condition when taking 800 milligrams of alpha lipoic acid orally as compared to a placebo. Now, placebo means that you put somebody in a study and they think they're getting the substance, but they're really getting a blank, if you want to use it. You know, it's kind of like I give you a capsule and you think you might be getting a substance, or I may even tell you, I'm going to give you, Gary, alpha lipoic acid, and I really gave you a sugar, you know, tablet. So all it was a sugar tablet. And so the goal is to see whether or not because of the ability of the human mind and the human spirit to rise above even some of the most sensitive situations, physical situations, will that ability affect the outcome of the test? In other words, are you just going to get better because I told you you're going to get better? You see? So that's what the placebo effect. So many studies that are called double-blind placebo, whereas there are people who are getting the substance and there are other people who are not getting the substance. And the goal is to see how the people who will get the substance versus those who don't get it and see is there a placebo effect. In other words, if I have 50 people in group A who got alpha lipoic acid, and I have 50 people in group B who just got a sugar tablet, then if the stuff really works, more people in group A should get better versus group B. But if I have 40 people to get better in group A and 40 people get better in group B, then I have to say that might just be a placebo effect from both of the groups. And then I have to assume that the product is not really working. This is how science is done. What they call exploratory science is done. Some people don't agree with giving people placebos, you know, because some people die in placebo in this type of testing. They die. And not a lot. It's small, probably around 1%. It depends on how big the pool of people are. But some people are on their last leg with a disease, and they want to, you know, evaluate this new drug, and they bring in a placebo, Gary. And some people die while the investigation is going on. That's why some people say giving a placebo is somewhat inhumane. It just depends, you know. Myself, I'm really in between. I'm really not sure, but this is what this means. If you don't understand, or somebody in the listening audience don't understand what a placebo means, when you hear me saying or you read about it somewhere, this is what placebo means, Gary. So
yeah, people afraid to do double blind studies. Somebody right now is going, oh, I'm not going to do that double blind study. I'm gonna die.
Well, you know what? Then what you should do, well, you know, some people do it because they, you know, they're really in a bad situation, and they get, right. I guess they figure they don't have any choice, so why not jump in the study and maybe I'll get, you know, relief. And unfortunately, right. if the material doesn't work, you know, you may have wasted 3, 4, 5, or 6 months in the study where you could have been over in this other study where something actually did work. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean...
Please consult your physician before participating in double-blind studies if you have chronic illnesses.
Okay, here is a Gary an article from the journal, and this is from 1999. This is from the Department of Internal Medicine in Frankfurt, Germany. It's from the journal Diabetes Care. This is 1999. So this can tell you, this gives you a little idea of how long this research has been going on. We examined the effect of lipoic acid, a cofactor of the pyruvate dehydrogenase complex, and don't worry about that, on insulin sensitivity and glucose effectiveness, and on serum lactate and pyruvate levels after oral glucose tolerance tests and modified frequently sampled intravenous glucose tolerance tests in lean and obese patients with type 2 diabetes. Now, I said a mouthful, but these are just some technical terms saying that they basically took some people who were lean and people who were obese, and they examined the effect of lipoic acid on insulin sensitivity. And this was an oral test where they actually gave the person the substance, you know, by mouth. And it says, conclusions, treatment of lean and obese diabetic patients with lipoic acid prevents hyperglycemic-induced increments of serum lactate and pyruvate levels and increases SG. So, again, here, this is a study that's showing that lipoic acid, you know, prevented hyperglycemia. I'm thinking about something else right now. And hypoglycemia, as again, we talked about this earlier, is where the levels of sugar are elevated. And even lipoic acid reduces those levels. So not only do you have pentotol, but you also have alpha-lipoic acid. So I thought this was a very important study. And you can see now why I'm jumping around on saying some of these terms, because if it'll twist my tongue sometime, just imagine what it's going to do to yours.
ATA.
Yes, that's right. But here, Gary, is another study, and I'm just going through some scientific research on this substance, alpha lipoic acid. And it said, let me back up here, Gary. This is from Diabetes Care. This is from the year 2006. It says, oral treatment with alpha-lipoic acid improves systematic diabetic polyneuropathy. Okay, and the objective, the aim of the trial was to evaluate the effects of alpha-lipoic acid on positive sensory symptoms and neuropathic deficiencies in diabetic patients. And it's a lot of technical stuff here, research and design. I'm not going to talk about that. But it says, oral treatment with alpha-lipoic acid for 5 weeks improved neuropathic symptoms. An oral dose of 600 milligrams once daily appears to provide the optimum risk to benefit ratio. So here again is another study that is showing that 600 milligrams of this substance on a daily basis will help protect people with diabetes from nerve damage. This is what this substance is doing. You know, yeah, on one hand, you have the pentotol, which keeps the blood sugar down. On the other hand, you have the alpha-lipoic acid, which protects the kidneys, protects and the nerves from being damaged. Okay, and particularly in the feet area. So this, I think, is another very interesting observation, scientific observation, that we're seeing at the use of these substances. And, you know, people right now, Gary, are suggesting, and I mean, I say people, I mean researchers are now suggesting that a combination of pentotol and lipoic acid, of these two substances on a daily basis, so that it can help diabetic people who, you know, have tried everything else, or they cannot tolerate, the everyday use of these different drugs in order to help them out with their problem, that they are now suggesting that based on the data, since both of these substances are non-toxic, they have no, antagonistic effect in the body when there's the presence of insulin, whether it's low levels or high levels, you actually see a significant improvement in the health of the diabetic patients. So this is really has been a big thing in science, and I think it's a good step and the right step and the right direction on the use of certain products to manage a very common We said it's almost 25 million Americans, a very common disease in this country. Do you have any quick suggestions on or any comments?
I was trying to see if you were waiting for a comment. Yeah, that sounds good. So these two can be taken in combination, is correct?
That's correct. You can take
the regime that you have from your medical practitioner, and you know, and I guess in time with working with your doctor, you can probably see some of your levels leveling off and be able to hopefully cut back on more of the medications and be able to use less medication and more natural substances to help to control and manage your diabetes.
Yes, that's exactly what I would take, or the direction I would take is that you would slowly integrate the use of these natural substances in your daily regime. Another thing I didn't touch upon is that there's research out there that's been done. It's ongoing to evaluate whether or not these substances will interfere with the medication that you're already on in diabetic patients. And so far, the results look very favorable, that there's really no antagonistic effect of the use of these particular substances with drugs. And in fact, again, you know, many of these drugs don't work that well anyway. And number two, many people stop taking them. They just deal with the insulin. They'll take the insulin shot and try to manage the rest the best they can, because the drug has such bad side effects. And until, you know, hey, I'd rather just be, you know, not taking the drugs, or I take them sometimes and I don't take them. So it's really hard to kind of judge. And I'm sure many of the healthcare practitioners, because, you know, people tell you anything, yeah, I'm taking it and, you know, I'm still having problems, when in reality they probably are not taking them because they don't want to deal with the side effects. Here is a situation now where you can integrate this into your health program, and like you said, you can slowly integrate it in and slowly, you know, pull out some of the drugs that you're using. And then, of course, you can keep your doctor or whatnot up to date, and they'll be able to see the effect of what's going on in terms of what you're doing. And, you know, it's a good situation for the people with these type of symptoms and this particular disease. And, from a scientific point of view, I've seen enough information, I've read enough data on the subject now, that I'm thoroughly convinced that such a health scheme should be beneficial for, you know, people who have diabetes. Of course, you know, you go to your doctor, he may even know about some of this, I don't know. And remember, a lot of times doctors only prescribe to you what they get from the pharmaceutical companies, and they're not about to prescribe something to you or tell you to get something that, number one, it could mess up their situation, pharmaceutical companies, and number two, it probably not going to make any money anyway if you buying all your stuff from the health food store. You know, I can't prescribe you no drugs. We don't know what kind of benefit doctors get from prescribing drugs. We talked about that on the last show, about how doctors put their names on papers and articles and implying that they researched this particular drug, or they've evaluated it in clinical trials. And the truth of the matter, if they haven't done anything. So we don't know what is actually going on in the medical industry between the pharmaceutical companies and the medical doctors. So you're probably not going to get too many doctors that might do this, although they're probably not going to stop you from doing it, particularly if your situation is bad or is deteriorating. I mean, like you said, your mom had some problems which eventually led to her passing. So any sane physician would say, hey, you know what? Why not? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I understand where you're going. And, you know, some doctors, they
only know what they know, the years of training and background in dealing with medicines and pharmaceuticals and the knowledge they've gained over the years, especially, you know, the older physicians, they know what they know and they stick with what they know. And fortunately, some of the younger doctors, and there are more doctors that are have also some natural and nutraceutical training too, so things will probably looking better for the future as more of them incorporate some of the nutraceuticals along with the pharmaceuticals and studies to be able to help people. And I'm sure at the end of the day, every doctor is taking a hope to really help people, and it's a good thing to see that you're also taking a look and studying some natural alternatives to medications that may not be have as many side effects and be helpful to people as well.
Exactly, and that's what, again, this is what this the fundamental basis for this show is, to bring information to individuals who may not be aware. I mean, there's a lot of people who are aware, let's face it, but there are many more that are not aware, and that you don't have to suffer, or you don't have to have fear that you know you're going to lose a kidney, or you're going to lose your feet, or whatever. I mean, there's new and exciting developments on the horizon, and you know, this is not a cure, but it is a first step, and it's definitely a management program that has shown to be effective and not have any, you know, deleterious effects on the human body. So I see no reason, and I truly see purpose in pursuing a certain health regime and going in this direction. Let me quickly, Gary, finish this up on alpha lipoic acid, just to, for any of you in the listening audience. Some of you may be medical people. Some of you may be technical people in the chemistry or in the chemical industry. Maybe, you know, I don't know, professors or teachers. And this is the reason why, Gary, that I'm giving this information out, but so that you will know that you technical people, listen to me, you know, that this is information you can go look up. And you can just beat it down till you can't lift your arms anymore. But this is real, and it's on the scene for new healthcare managements for diabetic persons. Here is a study. It says the efficacy and safety of high-dose alpha-lipoic acid in the treatment of diabetic polyneuropathy. This study was done in 2010. This is recent, 2010. And basically, this study found, Gary, well, let me go back. It says 236 patients was enrolled in the study, and what they found, that 73% of the patients that took alpha-lipoic acid improved their symptoms. Well, they didn't improve the symptoms, but they reduced the symptoms of polyneuropathy as opposed to only 80% in the placebo effect. So that's a big, big difference, and pretty much without a shadow of a doubt says that this particular substance worked. They also concluded that 600 milligrams was the level that you need to consume on a daily basis. And then as a final study, Gary, another 2010, alpha-lipoic acid improves vascular endothelial function in patients with type 2 diabetes. A placebo-controlled randomized trial. This is in a European Journal of Clinical Investigation. This came out in 2010. And they concluded that the investigators concluded that intravenous alpha-lipoic acid treatment improves endothelium vasodilation in patients with type 2 diabetes in the absence of effects on vasomotor function. So basically they're saying again that some people that may have constrictions or restrictions in arteries or veins, and this is going to cause high blood pressure, which is going to affect the heart, that the use of alpha-lipoic acid cause the artery or vein materials, tissues rather, to expand. That's what it means, expand and allow easier blood flow through, and of course that reduce the blood pressure. And again, I'm taking terms, Gary, so kind of work with me here and trying to make sure I'm like walking through a landmine here. I'm trying to make sure that I don't leave out the importance, meaning of a technical term that's used in this type of language. The chemical language is just as mind-boggling as the legal language. And so I'm having to kind of walk through a minefield to make sure I don't say something, and then you don't really get the definition and the meaning of what I'm saying. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And then I know you're not just talking about me personally, but the people that are listening or that will hear the show that may not be scientists or doctors or chemists, then they can actually have a broken down understanding of it, which for me, I mean, I like things that are broken down into more common man's language. And I guess that's why I'm here, to kind of help the common man to understand the technical terms that are so infiltrated within your capacity to think and grow and give.
Gary, I got something here. Now, this is what we just talked about, Gary, for most of the show. This is what natural science, different scientists who are starting to commit their research to discover some of the secrets hold in nature, from plants and from fruits and flowers, what and how that information can be transferred in everyday, modern-day life. This is what they're doing. Now, here is a, and we're going to go over this quick, is a, I guess, summary from an article. I'm not sure where this article is from. It's being referenced from another newspaper, but it came out last summer. And this is what the secular scientists are doing. And listen to what they're doing. They said, we found a definite cure for diabetes. So they found a cure for diabetes. Russians have performed the world's first animal-to-human transplantation through inserting insulin-producing pig cells into the human pancreas. They said this method involves inserting a seaweed-coated insulin-producing pig cell into the human pancreas to replace the native insulin cells that have been destroyed through the course of the disease. The coating prevents the patient's immune system from attacking the foreign animal cells, which are implanted in the body through a surgical procedure. In a 6-year follow-up, the technique is showing promise, resulting in improved blood glucose control and reducing the patient's need for daily injection of insulin. Now, they went through all of this, I'm sure, a very expensive surgery. And at the end of the day, all they can say is that it improved the blood glucose and it reduced the patient's need for daily injection of insulin. It didn't say it cured it, but in the title it said it was a cure. But when they talk about it, it doesn't necessarily suggest a cure. As to a scientist as me, this is not suggesting a cure. Now, I haven't read the whole paper that was published, but just looking at the language, it's probably not a cure. And then of all things, they put a pig, you know, they put cells from a pig into a human pancreas. A pig.
It's funny, too. I noticed that you keep really emphasizing the word pig. It's not exactly.
Well, you see, the pig is an interesting animal. And, yeah, and we know what? It's some interesting. See, the reason why they use a pig and is because science we found out about 20 years ago. And then they use this explanation. It may have even been 25 years ago, but they use this explanation to explain a lot of national and world events. And I'll briefly just hit on them when I get to the point. But the pig has a certain This is a protein, and this particular protein has the ability to resist immune attack from an apparent host. In other words, this protein from a pig has the ability to take a substance from the host cell, whether it be another animal or a human, and make that protein more adaptive to the host. So they came up with the theory that, you know what, we can use this for transplants, because generally when you take an organ from one person and move to another person, assuming the blood characteristics are the same or close proximity, very close proximity, even then there's some potential for rejection, organ rejection. This is a big problem in transplant, organ transplants. The pig has the ability, this protein has the ability to protect the transplant organ by affecting the host immune system. In other words, this particular protein can quickly begin to mimic some of the enzymatic biochemical reactions that are involved in the immune system. And in the cases, it's been successful. Now, this has been successful. Based on these scientific observations, it's now been theorized that this is how possibly the diseases spread, the Spanish flu, and some other flus at the turn of the 19th and 20th centuries, and caused mass death around the world. It's believed that many of these flus start out from birds, and birds they fly down and they eat, you know, trash off the back of the pigs, and they prick the pig skin, and this allows certain viruses to be injected in the pig system, in the blood system, and then the pig system quickly modifies it, and now it becomes even more resistant, and many scientists, researchers are strongly suggesting in their writings that this is how a lot of these major flus have started and came about. But Gary, that's about the end of the show. I just wanted to bring that up to you. We're coming to the end of the show, and with all this work these natural scientists is doing, here comes these guys, and the best they can do is come up with an expensive procedure to implant a human being with a pig protein or organ or whatever they're doing, and try to cure diabetes. Gary, we got a few minutes. Give me 30 seconds, and let's wrap up the show.
Okay, well, I thought they were using a pig because a sheep wouldn't do it, but anyway, that's a side joke. All right, well, it's just been a good night talking about some things that are very, very important in all communities, especially in America and throughout the world. People that are trying to manage diabetes, one of the things that you talked about was the phenytoin. There's a great natural substance to help, and the DCI and the ALA, and also, you know, for those of you out there, really, if we could just encourage one person tonight to, you know, tomorrow morning get up, take two steps towards the door, the next morning take a step out of the door, and the next day out down the street, before you know it, I mean, you'll be able to walk around the block. and being able to get up and move around and get some physical exercise and replace, you know, one phone.
That's right, Gary. You hit it right on the nose. Plenty of exercise. Modified diet. Pentatol. Think about incorporating it into your everyday health. Yeah, all those songs.